This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Triple Captain Extra with me, Luke Jurdy. I am your host. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter. And of course, we are at FPL Triple Cap on social media, at FPL Triple Cap. Give us a follow. We're an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to your mini league, getting you to the top of your mini league. This is Triple Captain Extra for those aiming to get into the top 10k. Personally, I believe that in order to get to the top 10k, you need to delve a little bit deeper into the stats and data and things like that, as well as watching a lot of football in order to be successful in FPL. Of course, there is luck involved in FPL as well, and you could get lucky just by going on gut instinct and watching the odd match here and there. But I prefer to decrease that chance, that luck, skill barrier, and hopefully we can all get towards the top 10k this season. Haven't done it for two seasons, so it's going to take a lot of effort. There's a lot of players in FPL. There's another 8 million this year, which makes it harder and harder to get to that top 10k, but hopefully with a little bit of luck as well as these podcasts, we can all get there. It was a brilliant first game week, as we've said in the main podcast. How great it was to have the football back. Absolutely loved it. Loads of top games, 34 goals, and all kicking off with that amazing atmosphere at the Brentford Stadium. I've forgotten what it's called. I think it's called the Community Stadium. It was fantastic. And there were some huge scores in FPL. I'm just having a little look now at the Triple Captain Extra Mini League. We've got it's a very exclusive group at the moment. We've got 26 in the league at the moment. Hopefully that will build, but I like it that we're growing steadily. Shout out to Carl Hellier, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, with his team Love and Rockets with 109 points. He played his bench boost, and looking at his team, it didn't go that well. He had Backman, Buendia, Smith Rowe and Veltman for a total of 5 points on his bench. So that boosted his score by 5 points. Remains to be seen whether or not that will be a good decision come the end of the season. But he's on top. And in second place, we have the FPL Cobra. You'll know Cobra if you're on our Discord. The link to join that is in our socials. He got 105 points. Very similar team to mine, actually. And he's in second place. And we've got Stephen Wheeler in third, joint third with Stephen Lafferty with 102. And it going all the way down to seventh, joint seventh. So the top seven all got 100 points and over. So welcome to that 100-point club, and enjoy it, enjoy it. I've just seen Hortz in Triple Captain Extra. Oh, great. That means he must be listening. Hortz is a well-known FPL player. We know each other through, we were both in Warhorse together, and we always have a real battle in the Warhorse FPL Mini League. So I'm glad that he's joined the Triple Captain Extra Mini League as well. So if you're listening, Hortz, shout out to you. So I'm just going to go into a bit more detail than I did on the main pod. I'm going to take you through my team in more detail. I'm going to go game by game, what I noticed most. I managed to watch the full match of Brentford, Arsenal, Liverpool, Norwich, Spurs, City and Newcastle, West Ham. And the rest I watched on Match of the Day. So I'll just be going through that, my watch list, and narrowing those players down to the ones that I'm interested in most for game week two and beyond. So as we heard on the pod, I got 94 points. Sanchez in goal with a 2. I thought Brighton were okay. We'll go into more detail on that in a minute. Shaw, of course, got his booking, but looked pretty good. So I was quite happy with him with a 1-pointer. And Alexander-Arnold and Tsimikas, the double Liverpool defence, getting me a clean sheet, which was great. And both of them look quite attacking. There's rumours that Robertson's going to be back earlier than perhaps thought, but even if we can get one more game out of Tsimikas, I think that'll be great return for a 4 million defender. Across the midfield, I captained Mo Salah like everybody else, so I got 34 from him. I also went with Bruno Fernandes, as we know, with 20. I mean, to me, it was a bit of a no-brainer starting with Bruno. I think you were almost trying to be too different to not go with him. Although there were lots of scores out there without Bruno that hit that 100-point mark still. So, you know, nobody is essential in FPL, as we know. But it's not going to happen every week where loads and loads of people return. So I'm happy that I've got him. He was superb. More on him a little bit later. I changed things round slightly on the final day, I think, on the Friday. I took out Harvey Barnes and brought in Rafinha. Reason being, I just didn't like Brendan Rodgers' comments about Barnes not being quite ready. Not being quite up to speed physically. He's still starting games, but he will be taken off, I think, for the first few at least. So I decided to go with Rafinha for security of starts, and he'll mostly play 90 minutes. He's, you know, him and Bamford are kind of Leeds' best players. So I went with him. It remains to be seen whether it'll pay off. I also went with Gundogan, which we knew. And I upgraded Luke Ayling to Soufal. So Soufal was on my bench this week, but I like Soufal as an option. I think West Ham started well, and he was very close to an assist for Antonio. So I'm glad that he's in my team. My regret, perhaps, is not including Greenwood or Benrahma, but it remains to be seen. Again, in the next few game weeks, Rafinha might come up trumps, and I didn't just put him in for one game week. I also noticed four of the top five Hall of Famers on the Fantasy Football Scout website in their teams, four out of five all had Rafinha in. So that made me think, well, if the top guys are putting him in, I like him as well. I'm going to go for him as well. So he got one. After all that, he got 1 point. Gundogan got two, of course, after that Spurs defeat. And he is orange flagged at the moment. I'm going to wait for news on him. Antonio, fantastic 13-pointer from him. Could have had more if he didn't miss that penalty, of course. Danny Ings with that late penalty, seven. And, of course, Ivan Toney with the two. On my bench, Soufal with one, Brownhill with one. So got my bench right this week. And Veltman with a zero. But, of course, Veltman could be back after he came in close contact to somebody with COVID, apparently. So hopefully he's back for game week two. Quick rundown of the matches. Brentford v Arsenal. You know, Brentford's first time in the Premier League. The fact that they were in League Two in 07-08, magnificent achievement for them. And 1947 was the last time they were in the top flight. Things to notice, Mbeumo up top with Toney. So an out-of-position striker. Thought he looked good on the watch list. From Frank's interview before the game, I noticed that he said they will try to attack as many minutes as possible, which is, you know, kind of a little bit vague, because what if it's not possible to attack any minutes? But it looked like they were trying to attack at every opportunity. He also said Ivan Toney was the best penalty taker in the world, and that Brentford try to press high, but they will have spells of 11 men behind the ball. All of that was pretty much what we saw against Arsenal. For them, bit of a poor game to start us off, but there were some signs which were good. Also to note, if you haven't seen in the news for this start of this season, there's a change to the offside rule with VAR, and the benefit of the doubt is going to be given to the attacking player. So Level is back, and they think that should increase goals by about 20. And as we saw already, there was one this week, Bruno Fernandes Level with the last defender. The goal was allowed to stand. And last season, they would have got the lines out. He'd have probably been offside. So already that rule is looking good for FPL attacking assets. Just going back to the Brentford-Arsenal game briefly, I thought Tierney and Smith Rowe stood out the most for me from Arsenal. Smith Rowe was involved a lot, seemed to be playing that number 10 role quite well. Obviously, the caveat to Smith Rowe is they have now confirmed the signing of Odegaard, who I think plays in the same position as him. So one to keep an eye on, and I think the fact that Arsenal play, I think it's Chelsea and City in the next two, we can wait and see, and maybe bring one of them in game week four. Particularly Kieran Tierney is the one that impressed me the most. Six chances created, the best of defenders from game week one. So definitely one to keep an eye on there. Brentford looked okay at the back. I mean, Arsenal only had the four shots on target, but they did have 22 shots. So you maybe expect Raya or Raya to make some saves this season. And like Frank said, you know, there will be times where they've got 11 men behind the ball. So it remains to be seen just how well they'll kick on from here. But what a start. So yeah, they were the kind of main take-homes for me. Norwich versus Liverpool was the next game that I watched live. I watched the full match live. Obviously, Virgil van Dijk was back in with Matip. So interesting that Konate didn't start. Maybe that's to come. And of course, Tsimikas started as well. Oxlade-Chamberlain, Milner and Keita were the central midfielders. Perhaps not the best three central midfielders on paper, but it didn't really affect Liverpool too much. They played really, really well. Jota started up top as a number nine, and Firmino was on the bench. Jota, of course, was brought off bang on 60 minutes. So just about got that extra appearance point. But then when Firmino came on, of course, he scored. So the issue there is, well, you know, Firmino may well replace him. Tsimikas was really impressive. He was getting forward a lot. He was on corners from the left. He was looking to provide, put in a few crosses. So really, really good to see. And he actually had a great shot that was saved, filling Robbo's shoes very nicely. Of course, we have heard that Robbo may return sooner than we think. But for 4 million, I mean, he's just gone up to 4.1 now. Hold for now. He should start the next game. I wouldn't think about bringing him in just because if Robbo's back game week three, he's going to then be a transfer out. Speaking of budget options, Billy Gilmore started in central midfield for Norwich. You'd expect him to keep his place. Obviously, it'll be a difficult test for him this season, but I'm sure it'll mature him as a footballer. For me, I went with Josh Brownhill, and of course he didn't start for Burnley. He was on the bench. Very disappointing. So Billy Gilmore could be a good 4.5 million option. Jota took his goal really well. And as we said, if he was starting all the time, I think he'd be in everyone's teams. I mean, he's a great, great option. Him and Greenwood, I think, best 7.5 million options so far. And of course, I haven't mentioned Salah, but he was electric, and you have to have him in your team, really. He's so, so good. Captain option every week. Two assists and a goal. One of the assists was a little bit lucky, but we'll take that all day long. So that was Norwich and Liverpool. Just going to turn my notes here. And we are on to United versus Leeds. I watched the full game of this as well. Of course, United won 5-1. 16 shots for United, 8 on target. 10 shots for Leeds, not bad, but only 3 on target and only an XG of 0.3. Pogba, of course, started on the left of a front three. Greenwood was up top and Sancho was on the bench. I think we can expect Sancho to start the next game, and Ollie was kind of easing him into it. And it's an easy replacement for Dan James. I'd imagine that Pogba will keep his place on the left. Leeds were without Calvin Phillips. Of course, we mustn't forget that. When he's back, I'm sure they will improve. And I think, as I said, pre-season, away from Elland Road, they're a lot worse. I think at home, they're going to be really, really good value again. So don't worry if you, like me, you own Rafinha or you put in Bamford. I think the points will come. Greenwood, superb. As I mentioned on the main podcast, and I'll mention him a little bit later when I go through my main watch list. And of course, Pogba to Bruno, Pogba to Greenwood. His passing was just absolutely incredible. He was back to that form that he showed for France. And if he can keep that up, then he could be a great option. But he has to keep it up. Sancho came on after 75 minutes. Pogba was brought off then. And Martial also came on. That's the thing with Greenwood. often he will be subbed off, even if he starts. And if he is on the bench, he'll often come on. So you're risking kind of one pointers as well. I do still think he is a slight rotation risk. Luke Shaw looked okay, as we mentioned before. He was advanced and getting in the box. Superb win for United. Lots of options there. They also, of course, unveiled Raphael Varane. So you'd expect those clean sheets to... you'd expect them to have more chance of clean sheets now. Moving on. Watford versus Aston Villa. It's 3-2 to Watford. Dennis started a striker, but they have got a few players missing. So I don't know if that will continue. Watford fans, maybe help me out on that if you're listening. He was great. Goal on his debut. Him and Saar, the standout options for Watford. Saar on the counter, his pace, scored a goal, deflected, but he was well worth his points. Absolutely terrorised Matt Target, who was subbed off at half time. Villa were really poor in that first half, and I think, as we mentioned pre-season, their defence dropped off towards the end of last season, and it looks like it's continuing to drop off. Martinez perhaps might not be as good value this season, but I am of course going on one game week. Ashley Young started out of position, interesting there, on the left of a front three. He's 5 million. If that continues, then he could be a great option, but of course it may not continue. They've got Leon Bailey waiting in the wings, who was brought on for El Ghazi after 60 minutes. Danny Ings didn't really show as much, but obviously he scored his penalty, so lucky points there. I've put that he's safe in my team just, but I'm eyeing up replacements once their fixtures turn after game week three. Certainly give him the next one, possibly two. It'd be good to see Watford away. Obviously, they were at home. Fans make a big difference. Saar was the top option. But it'd be good to see them play away next against Brighton to really get an idea of what they're going to do. Quickly, before I move on to the next game, it was interesting on Match of the Day, the goal involvement stats since February 2020. These are the most important stats for FPL. You know, we can talk all we want about shots on target, big chances, XG, yada, yada, yada. The most important stats are goals and assists in FPL, because that's what gets the points. Of course, clean sheets as well. But for attackers, goals and assists. And they pulled up a graphic. Bruno, of course, was top, 29 goals and 19 assists. Kane, second, 30 goals, 14 assists. Salah, third, 30 goals, 11 assists. Son, fourth, 22 goals, 13 assists. Vardy, fifth, 22 goals, 10 assists. And KDB was sixth, 12 goals and 17 assists. I mean, that's massive considering he's been out, injured. So keep your eye on KDB when he comes back. What do we notice about all six of those? They're the most premium assets in FPL. Sometimes it's quite simple. What that suggests to me is that maybe we should have started. And I think this is also after seeing Spurs beat City, of course, and Son scoring his goal. Maybe we should have started with three premiums instead of two and building our teams around them. It's what I did last season. I can't remember if I did it the season before. But those with Bruno, Salah and Son in their team are feeling pretty good right now, I think. Particularly those with Bruno, Salah and Son. That's exactly what I just said. Sorry, it's been a long day. But yeah, I think it suggests to me that we should be making room possibly for a third premium. Son, Vardy, KDB, you know, Lukaku, Kane. Can you fit them in? Is there enough value to be had elsewhere? Have a little look in your teams. I'm going to be mentioning Son a bit later as well. Chelsea, solid. Absolutely solid performance. 3-0 against Palace. 13 shots, 6 on target. Only a 1.14 XG, but they dominated from start to finish, didn't they? I mean, Azpilicueta played at right wing back. Shalaba, Christensen and Rudiger were the choices in defence for them. And Mount, Werner and Pulisic were the front three. Havertz, of course, was benched. Alonso started again and Golonzo rolled back the years, scored from a direct free kick that Mason Mount won. So an assist for him. Nice work from Azpilicueta for Pulisic's goal. Beautiful moment for Shalabar. been at Chelsea since he was eight, and what a goal it was, and a lovely celebration showed how much it meant to him. Chelsea got the best defence in the Premier League. We know that at the moment. And we also know that Palace are poor against big opposition. They were dominated. I think they could struggle this season, Palace. If they get it together and start performing well, Mitchell could be an option. 4.5 million left back. If he shows any attacking potential, Zaha might be an option too. They've got Eze to come back. It'll be interesting to see what Palace do against the lower end of the table. But Chelsea ominously look very, very dominant. But Tuchel will rotate. That's the thing. So, you know, he did this week with Havertz. So you've got to think about that with Chelsea. But there's a few that interest me from them, particularly defenders. And of course, Lukaku. We're all excited to see him. Everton 3, Southampton 1. Everton 14 shots, 6 on target. Pretty good numbers there. 2.52 XG. That's pretty big. Good start for them. Good start for Rafa Benitez. Front 3 of Townsend, Damari Gray and Richarlison. Just behind Calvert-Lewin, of course. Worth keeping an eye on Alan. 4.5 million midfielder. Didn't even think about him beforehand, and I wish I did after seeing Brownhill on the bench. Pretty much nailed Alan, I'd imagine, this season. Livramento, one to keep an eye on from Saints for 4 million. Tsimikas, if we make an extra million on him and we can sell him for 4.1 for Livramento at 4, it's not a bad 0.1 million banked. So fingers crossed he carries on for Saints. He could be a great bench option. And Armstrong, the other player, profited from a keen mistake to score his goal with a Shea Adams assist, and had a shot on target as well. Everton were poor in that first half. They got much, much better in that second half. Richarlison with a great poacher's goal in the box. Townsend, bit of a lucky assist from Townsend, but he was putting a lot of crosses in. And what a goal, Abdoulaye Doucouré. Rich called him out on the main podcast, one to watch there. Lovely goal from Calvert-Lewin with a diving header from a perfect Richarlison cross. Loads of crosses. Calvert-Lewin could and should get goals this season. Keep an eye on him. I'm going to talk about him a little bit more as well after I've done this run through. Burnley 1, Brighton 2. Both had 14 shots apiece. So maybe surprisingly, 1.4 and 1.7 XG. Not too bad for two teams that perhaps we wouldn't think attack that much. Brighton had 8 shots on target. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Matt Lowton and Chris Wood are back for Burnley. I think I mentioned Matt Lowton on the Extra Pod pre-season. One to keep an eye on when their fixtures get better. Charlie Taylor also looked good. He was quite advanced and showed some good work getting into the box. Won a free kick on the edge of the area. Webster, Duffy and Dunk. I think Gross played at left back for Brighton, or at least he started there, interestingly. So keep an eye on that if you're interested in Pascal Gross. But Brighton were all over the shop at times in that first half. Sanchez very flappy. Look maybe suspect from set pieces, but apart from that, weren't really troubled. Burnley had only 3 shots on target, so Sanchez perhaps a little bit unlucky not to keep a clean sheet, but one to watch there. Not much interest from me from Burnley yet. Duffy, of course, from Brighton could be one to watch at 4 million, but Veltman should be back next week. I hope so anyway, because it wasn't great seeing him not even in the squad, but that's COVID. It happens. So yeah, not much else to report from that one. Leicester beating Wolves 1-0. Most interesting stat from this game is Wolves had 17 shots, but only 3 on target. 1.37 XG to Leicester's 0.53. Wolves, you know, perhaps should have done better in this game. Leicester had 5 on target shots, 9 altogether. Amarte started, but I can't see that happening for too much longer with Vestergaard waiting in the wings. You'd imagine that he will start with Soyuncu. Perez, Maddison, Barnes and Vardy all started. And Hover for Wolves at 4 million started. Semedo is set to come back though. So again, not quite sure if we should get too excited about that. Traore had a good game, should have scored. Traore is one of those players that kind of flatters to deceive, and his stats are very, very good after this first game week, but he's going to have to improve as a player in order to make him an FPL option, because he's got to turn his talent into goals and assists. It's as simple as that. Ricardo Pereira to Vardy, excellent assist, superb flicked finish from Vardy. Barnes was quite quiet, I noticed, but I think Wolves were unlucky. Jimenez in the box, some decent stats from him. From game week 4 onwards, I will be looking at Wolves. Their fixtures improve and they look, so far, to be a better team under their new manager, a more attacking team. Vardy, of course, plays on the shoulder of defenders. I loved what FPL General said about Vardy. He's Benjamin Button. He does seem to get better with age. But he plays on the shoulder of defenders. One to watch out for with the new VAR changes, that Level will now be onside. Vardy, again, as I said about those premiums, could be a good option. We spoke about Brentford and Arsenal, of course. Spurs and City. It was an interesting game, wasn't it? 13 shots for Spurs, 18 shots for City, but only 2 on target for Spurs and only 4 on target for City. City had an XG of 1.84, so you could perhaps say they were unlucky, but they didn't. They weren't worth the win, I don't think. I think Spurs did brilliantly. Son looked great. Lucas Moura attacking looked really good. Dele Alli, although he was quiet, I think could become an option. Keep an eye on him. It's going to be a bit of a risk for City. If they start slow, I don't think teams like Chelsea, Liverpool and United will let up this season like they did last. I don't think there's going to be as many slip-ups. It's going to be really interesting to see what City do in the next few games. And what better way to get back on track than against Norwich? But it looked a bit like Grealish slowed them down. I don't like to comment too much. It's only been one game week, but Spurs really deserved their win. And of course, Son firmly on the watch list for the next few weeks. Newcastle West Ham, probably the pick of the matches this game week, apart from United, of course, as I'm a United fan, as we all know. 4-2 to West Ham, 18 shots, 9 on target for them. XG of 2.99, best in the league. They looked great, didn't they, going forward? Benrahma, little bit disappointed in myself that I didn't go for him, but it wouldn't really have gone with my usual strategy in FPL of picking someone off the back of pre-season games, but he delivered, and well done to those who picked him. He could be an absolute snip at 6 million. I'd probably, you know, if he carries on that form, we'd pay 6.57 million for him. Lingard may be coming in to West Ham, so worth keeping an eye on there, because he will be favoured, and Benrahma might be pushed out to a wide role instead of down the middle, but at the moment he looks really good. And of course, Antonio, absolutely superb performance from him. He's just a tank, isn't he, and he dominates. He was great. Soufal, I also own. I thought he you know, came close to an assist. And I think I shouted it on the pod, but on the main pod, but obviously we talked about Callum Wilson, and Matt Ritchie could also be one to keep an eye on, out of position defender. He did get an assist in this game and created some chances. Newcastle, I'm not too worried about. I certainly don't think they'll go down, and they look like they're up for attacking. As long as Saint-Maximin, Almiron and Wilson are fit, I think they'll cause teams problems. Stats from the game weeks overall. So most shots this week in this first game, it was Arsenal with 22, then Liverpool 19, West Ham 18, City 18, Newcastle 17, Wolves 17. Most shots on target was West Ham, Man United 8, Liverpool, Brighton with 8 and Watford with 7. Best XG, West Ham, Everton, Man City, Brighton, United and Newcastle. Those were the best of the attacking stats from the teams. Put here that Benrahma and Greenwood ticking boxes for me. Calvert-Lewin has real potential with Richarlison. Saar for Watford, and watch out for Wolves and Newcastle. So that's my rundown of the games from this week. I've briefly spoken about players I'm interested in. Here's how I'm going to break it down. So for me, for a player to make it to... It's been a long day. A player for me needs to pass three things. They need to pass the eye test first and foremost. So are they impressing me in highlights? Are they impressing me in full matches? They've got to be in form, which means stats for me. Are they performing well in the stats as well as eye test? Sometimes you can watch a player and think, oh yeah, I'm going to put them in my team, or I'm going to put them on my watch list. And you look at the stats, you think, oh, actually, they only had one shot in that game. It turned out to be a goal, but I think I'd prefer someone else who's having more shots, potentially. Fixtures as well. That's the third thing. So if they pass the eye test, they pass the stats, form, and they pass the fixtures, they are going to be the closest to my team this season. I've got a watch list of players, which I'm keeping things about 20, 21 players on there at the moment. I'll break them down, and then I'll break down the ones that stand out. Okay. So for me, starting defence, no goalkeepers on the watch list just yet. I'm going to stick with Sanchez. Ricardo Pereira, straight on the watch list, looked good, passed the eye test. Did he pass the stats? Well, he didn't have any shots. He only created one chance, and his XA was 0.03. XA means how likely he was to assist in the game. So obviously he got one assist, but that didn't go down as a big chance for Jamie Vardy. It was a brilliant finish. So therefore, Pereira, not so sure I like his stats. So he's passed the eye test, hasn't passed the stats. Azpilicueta and Rudiger, both on my watch list from Chelsea, clean sheet potential. They have to start though. We need more info on them. Stats wise, neither of them really passed either, but you're going for clean sheets with Chelsea rather than goal threat or creativity. Henry from Brentford, also on my watch list. I spoke about him briefly on the main pod. Hasn't really got any goal threat or creativity, or didn't have in that one game. Again, caveat, one game week. Okay. Davinson Sanchez from Spurs. That could also be Dyer. That could also be Tanganga. If they keep clean sheets, again, might be an option at 4.5. Had one shot in the box. That was it. So again, not really close to my team just yet. Matt Ritchie, who I spoke about. This is where it gets a little bit more interesting. Had a shot, but didn't really threaten in goal-wise, but created four chances. 0.17 XA, got an assist, 50% goal involvement. Not bad. Not bad for Ritchie. So he's passed eye test and he's passed stats. Also, Kieran Tierney. Three shots. Great for a defender. One on target, two in the box. 0.21 XG, six chances created, 0.29 XA. And his X points were 5.3. So his expected points, 5.3, that's pretty big for a team that conceded two goals. So therefore, he was expected to get at least an assist. His stats were great. So therefore, Tierney and Ritchie, have they got the fixtures? So Ritchie's got Villa away, Southampton at home, United away, Leeds at home and Watford away. Pretty good fixtures on paper. Ritchie is therefore fairly close to getting in my team, or, you know, fairly close to being my number one target from defenders. I'm going to wait and see if Newcastle improve defensively. What about Kieran Tierney? Well, he plays Chelsea and Man City next. After that, Arsenal's fixtures get really good. Norwich, Burnley, Spurs not so good, but then Brighton, and then they get better after that. So game week four onwards, Kieran Tierney firmly on my radar. Obviously, his stats will have to improve. He'll have to still pass the eye test. So these are ones to keep an eye on. Midfielders. I've got Paul Pogba, Bemrama, Son, Greenwood, Saar, Mbeumo, Smith Rowe, and Adama Traore. Now, Pogba, we've kind of spoken about. Wait and see on him. Bemrama, three shots. One on target, two in the box, one big chance. One chance created, one big chance created. Got an assist and a goal. He's offering both there. Bemrama, great option for now. Son, spoke about him briefly earlier. Top premium asset. I am most interested in getting Heung-min Son in my team. He had five shots against City. Only one on target and only one in the box. But to have five shots against City is pretty big. He was leading the line for Spurs. He looked great. And the thing with Son is he's got that consistency. He's done it year in, year out in the Premier League and in FPL. Ideally, I'd like Bruno, Salah and Son in my team. And I'm going to be working out a plan to make that happen. Mason Greenwood, the other one, three shots, good, two on target, good, one in the box, a goal, one chance created, one big chance created. So again, goal and assist threat, like Bemrama, great option. Saar as well, three shots, two on target, two in the box, a goal, 4 chances created. Goal and assists. Goals and assists. Great. And Mbeumo was the other one. Only had 2 shots, though. 2 in the box. 0.04 XG and 0.08 XA. So that puts me off for the time being. Smith Rowe as well. Similar to Mbeumo. Looked great, but stats-wise, not as good as the others. So again, not quite ready yet. Traore, 6 shots. 1 on target, 4 in the box. 1 big chance as well. And 1 chance created. Goals and assists. But we know with Traore, he has to improve his finishing. We know with Benrahma he can finish. Son can finish. Greenwood can finish. Sarr can finish. Can Traore? Therefore, he goes to the back of the list for now. Fixture-wise, from game week 4 onwards, Traore's fixtures get good. Benrahma's fixtures are good from game week 3 to game week 8. Greenwood's fixtures are good from this game week to game week 7/8. Sarr, game week 4 to 7. Son, game week 2 to 4. Game week 6 to 17. But you could argue that Son is fixture proof. Therefore, top of my list for midfielders at the moment has got to be Heung-min Son. Got to be. Greenwood would be the other one. I've got that issue with Gundogan. Greenwood's my man. I think if I'm going to switch Gundogan out, it's probably going to be for Greenwood. And then it's like a plan to get Son in, but Son could be gold in game week 3 against Watford. And if everybody has him in and lots of people, and then suddenly goes up in price. So there's things to think about here. I could take Gundogan out of someone like Sarr or Benrahma and save 1.5 million and then maybe take a hit to get Son in, or bench Gundogan and work out a way to get Son in for game week 3 with 2 free transfers. I still haven't decided what the best plan of action is. I just feel like I'd be missing out on Greenwood if I don't make that move, if Gundogan's going to be injured anyway. Which brings me on to forwards. On the watch list, Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, Vardy, Wilson and Armstrong. They all passed the eye test for me. Passing the stats was Calvert-Lewin, Vardy and Wilson. And Armstrong to a degree. But Vardy, DCL and Wilson were the ones that passed the stats as well as the eye test. Richarlison, a lot of love for him. He's gone up by 0.1 already. But if we look at his stats, only 1 shot, which resulted in his goal. It was 1 big chance. His where his stats are good, 2 chances created and 2 big chances created. 0.89 XA. That could be interesting. So he's certainly on the watch list, but he doesn't quite live up to Vardy and DCL for me. DCL, 5 shots, 2 on target. All 5 shots were in the box. 1 big chance, 0.71 XG. Nice. DCL firmly in my thoughts. He also could be fixture proof for me, DCL. He can score against anyone. Vardy, 6 shots, 3 on target, 5 of them in the box, 0.5 XG. He also created 2 chances. Vardy's done it year in, year out. Just whether we want to spend that money on him. And would I rather have Son? I think I probably would. Vardy just always misses out for me because of his price point, unfortunately. But I've always wanted to own him. Maybe this is the season that I do it. But you can't have everyone in terms of premium. So it would have to be Son or Vardy. At the moment, I think I prefer Son. Depends on Kane's situation. Callum Wilson, 4 shots, 2 on target. 3 of his shots were in the box. 1 big chance, 0.68 XG. Pretty good for Callum Wilson. Absolute talisman for Newcastle. And his fixtures look good. Game week 2 to game week 9, pretty good. Game week 11 to 15, pretty good. Calvert-Lewin from this week onwards, really. Everton's fixtures are good. Vardy's got Norwich, game week 3. Interesting. But then City, game week 4. But then he can score against anyone. Game week 5 to 11 is good for Vardy. Game week 13 to 18 is good for Vardy. I think Leicester are going to have another good season, so he could well be an option. But yeah, those are the players that have made it onto my watch list. They're the ones that are the closest to getting in my team. So Kieran Tierney, Matt Ritchie, Mason Greenwood, Benrahma, Sarr, Son, Calvert-Lewin, Vardy and Wilson. And as I spoke about on the pod, my move this week, it's most likely going to be Gundogan to Greenwood. I need to wait for press conferences. Pep may well say that Gundogan's fit. And if he plays, then I'll definitely hold him for Norwich and roll that transfer. If he's not, it's going to be very, very tempting to bring in Greenwood. Otherwise, I'll have to play a 4-3-3, which I don't really want to do. It would mean double Brighton defence against Watford, which could be okay. Brighton are at home, but again, As we said, Watford looked very good, so I'd be worried about playing Sanchez and Veltman. I could play Soufal, but he's got Leicester. Greenwood's got Southampton. Remains to be seen what will happen, of course, but those are my plans. I can't believe I've been rabbiting on for nearly 40 minutes. If you're still listening, thank you very much. Those are my thoughts going into game week 2. Good luck, everybody, and I will see you next week.